Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Wow, we already had a full service. My name's Ed, if you don't know me, and great to have you here at our service this morning. Of course, we are celebrating the coming of Jesus to our world. I'm going to probably get in trouble for this, but it's also somebody else's birthday today, and that's Tyler. Happy birthday, bud. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time to gather together, to worship, to sing songs of praise, to just be encouraged and blessed by the children, by these wonderful carols which proclaim your birth, for the season of Advent. We celebrate the coming in anticipation of your coming again. And Father, we pray that you would bless our time as we reflect on your word and its truth for us this day. For in the name of Jesus, I would pray. Amen. You probably know this, but I say this especially for the men here. There are only 9 shopping days left till Christmas. 8 if you exclude today. Time is ticking. I expect that many of you are in the midst of gift buying, wrapping presents, which is such a major part of our Christmas celebrations. Are you a good Christmas wrapper? I'm not. It's always very obvious which presents I wrapped. Now, I admit that I'm very grateful for those Christmas bags that became popular a few years ago. I can't help but wonder if maybe they were designed by men. And they're reusable. Bonus. Stick a bit of tissue paper in the top and you're ready to go. For many people, Christmas is all about the giving of gifts, trying to find that right gift for every person on their list, anticipating when they open their gift. In fact, of course, for some people, the major stress of Christmas is this whole gift-buying routine. Here's the interesting thing about the true meaning of Christmas. It's not about giving, but receiving. Christmas, in terms of the biblical story that we celebrate, is not about our giving, it's about God's gift. God's gift of Jesus and all that he means. Now, that might surprise you because sometimes it seems that Christmas is all about our giving. I think I've lost track of the number of asks I've received over the last couple weeks from different organizations to give. Maybe you have too. Many, if not all, charitable organizations wrap up their pursuit for support at this time of year. Most churches make special appeals to cover their budget shortfall as the end of the year comes near. On TV and radio, lots of humanitarian organizations get on it. They make their biggest appeals at Christmas, right? And the subtle, not so subtle message is that Christmas is to be about our generous giving. But that's not the biblical message, not the primary one. Christmas is about the gift. The one-of-a-kind gift, the gift to the world, the gift to you and me, the unique, wrapped in a manger gift, born of a virgin gift, heralded by angels gift, the gift of Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior. And so in this short series coming up to Christmas, we're seeking to just kind of quickly unwrap some of the aspects of what this great gift of Jesus means or can mean if we receive that gift of Jesus and follow him. And today, I want to explore with you one significant aspect of the gift of Jesus that I think we hear a lot about in this season, in Christmas cards and greetings and carols, and that's the gift of hope. Hope. It's one of those words that we use a lot. We say a lot. Maybe we don't stop to really think about it. And of course, to complicate matters, we can use this word hope in some very different ways. For example, one of the most common ways we use this word hope is a kind of optimism or well-wishing. Like, I hope you have a great week. I hope your exams go well this week. I hope I or my kids don't get sick for Christmas. I hope it goes well at the job interview and so on. We've all done that. And of course, there's nothing wrong with that. It's expressing an optimistic, positive desire for the future, for others, for myself. It's good to be positive. That isn't what biblical hope is about. Not really. What do you think of when you think of hope? Now, speaking of gifts, I wonder if there's something in here that could help us think about hope. I bet you can't guess what's in here. Do you like guessing games? Any guesses? Bart, is it heavy or light? Just the box. All right. That's okay. Bart? You take out what's inside.
Oh no.
Tell me what it is.
It's a lottery ticket, I think.
A lottery ticket. Funny story. This is the first in my life ever purchased lottery ticket. And I'm doubtful that anyone would believe that it's for a sermon illustration. But I think a lot of people in our culture think hope is kind of like a lottery ticket. You know, the odds are stacked against you, but maybe if I buy this ticket and I win, I can have a stress-free life. It's kind of like having a dream come true. Is that what hope means to you? Well, it's not what the Bible means by hope. And this morning I want to focus on two primary aspects of what the Bible means when it talks about hope, and particularly why at Christmas we talk about hope at the birth of Jesus. And the first is this, interestingly, Jesus' birth was about the fulfillment of Old Testament hope. We celebrate Jesus because of hope fulfilled. Fulfilled because of prophecies given centuries earlier. Over 700 years before Christ, the prophet Isaiah proclaimed, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." In the Gospel of Matthew, in the telling of the birth of Jesus, we then read these words in the first chapter. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this is just one example. Jesus coming and then his life and death, resurrection, were the fulfillment of many prophecies throughout the Old Testament, and thus the hope fulfilled of the people Israel, even though many did not believe in him. The proclamation that Jesus is the Messiah is to state that Jesus was the fulfillment of hope. In a wonderful but brief passage of scripture in the Gospel of Luke, we read that 40 days after Jesus was born, his parents, Mary and Joseph, take him to the temple for his consecration, as was the practice of Israel for firstborn sons. And there at the temple, an old man named Simeon was there, who had lived his whole life in hope that he would see the promised Messiah. Luke records these words. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The fulfillment of hope. For Simeon, Jesus was hope fulfilled. The Messiah had arrived. And of course, the wonderful truth that this so powerfully affirms is that God is faithful to his promises. God is faithful to his promises. That's the basis, the foundation, the bedrock of biblical hope. If God says it, you can believe it. If God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Maybe not right away. Maybe not even the way we think it's going to happen. But God always, always makes good on his promises. And that provides the basis for hope. But here's the second thing. Jesus was not only the fulfillment of hope. He was, in being that fulfillment of hope, the bringer of hope. The bringer of hope. See, Jesus' birth, life, and then death and resurrection establishes a future hope. Yes, Jesus' life coming fulfilled certain prophecies. There was more to come. And, of course, Jesus made his own promises. When I think about this, it's almost like a book trilogy or a story trilogy that are common today. The first book tells the story of the birth and the struggle of Israel and the promise of a Messiah. The second book tells the story of the coming of the Messiah and the life, death, and resurrection, the promises he made. And we're living out the third book. But then, listen, a grand sequel to the trilogy is coming that will be the story without end. And like all great stories, the characters in the story, you and me, we are to look ahead with anticipation for that better day to come that God has promised. That is hope. Listen to these words of Jesus to his disciples when he is giving them some words of hope, and through them to us too. John 14, 1-3. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am. Just like these first disciples, I think our hearts too can be troubled by what we are going through or the challenges we see all around us. But what a hope we have been given. Jesus is preparing a place for us and will come back and take us to be with him forever. Many people describe this as the hope of heaven or the hope of eternity. See, the Christian hope is that this life is not all there is. That death in this life is not the end, but a doorway into an eternity with God. The Apostle Paul, when writing about the reality of the resurrection, both Christ's and ours, which is part of this great hope, wrote these strong words: if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people to be pitied. It's a hope that is yet to come. That is the grand hope. And the Christian hope, the great hope, comes through the life and death and resurrection of Jesus. A hope for our eternity with him. You see, the rather harsh reality that we all have to face and come to grips with is that these earthly bodies are temporary. Two people in my sphere of relationship, my neighbor, my daughter-in-law's grandfather, died this week. These bodies will not last forever. Do you have a hope that lasts? I think many people are clinging to the equivalent of a lottery ticket, hoping that somehow it'll just kind of work out in the end. Some are in denial, just living for today. But we all will have to face that day. And without the hope of Jesus, there really is despair. But with Jesus, there is a hope that transforms us. See, Christmas proclaims that eternity is real, that God is real, that heaven is real. And through the grace of Jesus, we can be certain of eternity with him. Do you have that hope today? But just a little further, how then do we live in that hope today? What does it mean to live in or with hope day to day? With all the brokenness, with all the difficulties, with all the bad news that we hear about whenever it seems we turn on the TV or look at the internet, how are we to hold on to hope? Well, I want us to look briefly at a passage that I think is so helpful in answering that question. It's really my favorite passage when I think about biblical hope, just three verses or four verses, Romans 8, 22 to 25. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Two things I want to draw out of those verses. First, as we live in hope, we we will groan at times. Now, I say that because I think that sometimes we get this impression, this idea, this false idea in our heads that strong Christians are happy all the time. Always positive, kind of Teflon coating, untouched by the challenges or difficulties that surround us. No. Hope-filled Christians will sometimes groan. In fact, says Paul, in reality, all creation is groaning. But it is groaning in anticipation, not in despair. For what is now is not what will be. God is at work, and the great redemption story is still being written. And he is with us. He is with us in our troubles. He is, as the prophet proclaimed, Emmanuel, God with us. And right now, even in this season, if you are groaning, when it seems all around us in our world we're supposed to be happy all the time, it's okay. It's okay. God understands our groaning. And you can groan with hope because God is in control and he is good and he is working out his purposes. And secondly, we need to simply acknowledge that hope is to wait. Paul writes, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Sometimes there's nothing harder than to wait patiently, right? You remember as a child having to wait for Christmas? You would see all those presents wrapped under the Christmas tree and some with your name on it, but you had to wait. Waiting means not having now all that we long for. And to wait patiently, we have to accept that. All the things that we long for will not come in this life. Yet to wait in hope is, as Paul said, to wait eagerly. Eagerly. For Jesus is preparing a glorious future for you and for me, for all who have put their trust in him. This is what hope is in Jesus. Do you trust him? Do you have his gift of hope? Hope comes to us not by working ourselves into being positive or optimistic, but through confidence in the faithfulness and the goodness and the promises of Almighty God. That is hope. Jesus has come, and he will come again. A future is being prepared. Have you received that hope? Don't leave the gift of hope wrapped this Christmas. Receive it. Receive it in your heart. Let me pray for you. Father God, thank you for your words that come to us again and remind us of the reason that Jesus came. That we might know him, that we might experience him, that we might know his grace and forgiveness, but also his great hope. You want us to live with hope. And you have provided that hope through Jesus, even in the midst of difficulties and challenges and discouraging times. Father, I pray for anyone here who might be going through that difficult time, that they would be renewed in hope, that their minds would be renewed in hope as they reflect on your promises and your goodness and your plan. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning who has never truly received the hope of Jesus, may they open their heart to him now. Simply invite him to come in. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I believe in you. I trust in you. Not only for now, but for eternity. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? We're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.